This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Welcome back to the Salty Nerd Podcast, where we cover HBO Max's Warrior Season 1 episodes. What are we doing, 8 and 9 today? Or
7 and 8.
7 and 8. That's right. I'm super stoked to be here, as always. Loving talking about this show. If you're brand new here, go back and watch our previous episodes. We're doing watch-along slash commentary slash reviews of all the episodes leading up to Season 3 that is coming out in late June, I believe. And we will be covering that show as it drops weekly on HBO. So, thanks for being here. Joining me, as always, my panel of nerds, Matt Vader's here. What's up, dude?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here.
Yeah, you are.
I'm trying to focus up.
Navigate the moonshine.
I'm trying to focus up.
We should point out that everyone here has been drinking moonshine all morning.
It's like vodka. Legit
moonshine. It's legitimate moonshine.
Vodka made from corn.
Do you want to talk about it,
Jude? It's moonshine under the guise of vodka.
Yeah.
So correct us if we're wrong, but vodka is made out of potatoes.
I think so.
This says it's 100% made out of corn.
Yeah, that's moonshine.
Yeah, it's great. It's the smoothest moonshine I've ever tasted, and it's delicious.
And who sent it to us?
So the people at Shady Mile sent it to us. This is called the Ambush Canyon Vodka, 6 times distilled, handcrafted Texas vodka.
Yeah, it's their brand new release.
Yeah, it's delicious. We made Moscow. Sorry, my coaster was stuck to my glass. We made Moscow Mules out of it today, and... I mean, we're having a great time.
I just figured it out. Did you see how they labeled it?
Yeah.
It's Texas vodka.
Vodka.
Which means moonshine. Okay.
Got you.
It's like hillbilly heroin.
Black gold, Texas tea.
Frickin' good. It's super good.
Thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire.
Yeah. And it makes these episodes of Warrior even better.
It does. Oh, it does. Real quick, before we get into Warrior, casters.com is where you can order yourself some fine vodka, wink, wink.
Texas vodka.
Texas vodka. All right, Warrior. Take it away, Jude. What
All
do we got?
All right. Season 1, Episode 7, The Tiger and the Fox. Penelope's dad is really bad with money and wants her to do butt stuff with her husband. But who cares? The Hopway have officially put out the murder order out on Myling and Long Z over Assam's dead body. He takes on the Yellow Demon in a Who's the Real Demon match, saving his sister just in time for her to run upstairs and murder her husband, framing the Hopway enforcer. Meanwhile, a bounty hunter comes to town thinking he's going to take down Big Dick Lee. He tells Bill that Lee is wanted in Georgia for murder and asks for his help in cornering the fugitive. Bill agrees, but after Lee confesses he killed his cousin for murdering the woman he loved in front of him, Bill's like, "Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell," and beats the shit out of the bounty hunter before sending him out of town. Discuss.
Great episode.
This is my favorite episode.
This was pretty cool. I think Bill, like, as horrible as Bill's been in the recent episodes, like his gambling problem, well, and putting his family to the side.
He is a layered man.
We're getting some backstory.
Yeah.
He's some layers, like you said.
Yeah, you know. He's getting some layers to him. Now I'm seeing Bill in a different light. I'm like, oh, he's got his buddies back. Yeah. I really appreciated that.
He's a loyal man. Like, yeah. He's got his demons. He has a gambling addiction.
Mm-hmm. But, that thing that he did for Big Dick Lee this episode was
Big
great.
Dick Lee.
Big Dick Lee. So last time when we were talking about, and Lee was in the police department, and he was, like, looking at his map. And then he turned over to the side a little bit, and he saw that cowboy in the hallway.
Uh-huh.
I had perceived that as, oh, that's like a vision of his past, or somebody he killed. I didn't think it was actually a real person. Turns out that was the real person who was the bounty hunter going after Lee. He's got a $500 bounty on his butt.
Is that a lot?
Which that's equates
a lot for that
to,
time.
I don't know, like $5,000 today?
No, so it was basically $3,500 equivalent of $1.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so like $500 would be something like, I don't know, $150,000. Well, Lee's background was basically like after the Civil War, a group of slaves that used to work on his family's farm came to live with them, and they were like kind of like co-farming together.
Well, yeah, and Lee fell in love with a woman named Nora, and his cousin found out and killed Nora right in front of him.
If you remember in an earlier episode, there's a scene where Lee wakes up in bed and he imagines that there's like this woman beside him. We only see her back. But now, like, we get the full story where basically Nora was like a black girl that he fell in love with.
They grew up together.
They had grown up together, kind of like brother and sister, until they weren't. And then, like, they would have rendezvous in their local barn. where they would have sex. And then, like, they would time it so that she would leave first and then he'd leave, like, 20 minutes afterwards or something like that, just to keep up appearances. And his two cousins had kind of suspected that this was going on. And so one day they wait outside and they're basically going to try to rape Nora after like she comes out. And when she resists them, like they have like a sickle and they like carve her up and basically like kill her. And Lee, in a fit of rage, like basically shoots one of the cousins and then takes the sickle to the other one and like kills him like really brutally and then buries his girlfriend and
gets the fuck out of town.
And Bill's like, why did you come to San Francisco? And he's like, well, if there wasn't an ocean here, I'd probably have kept going.
So $500 in 1879 is about $15,000 today.
Wow.
$3,500 for $1? What's 500 times 3,500?
I don't know. You're asking me math right now, dude. Well, I'm on moonshine.
You're way off.
You just Googled it?
I just Googled what's $500 in 1878 worth.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing calculations.
God, no. I'm on moonshine. I'm doing calculations. I didn't even remember what episode this was.
It is Moonka. Sorry.
Moonka?
You guys are fact-checking each other. So.
Anyway, yeah, I was right. I called it. Because I didn't know what his backstory was. And I'm like, I bet she fell in love. Somebody killed her. And then
you
he went on a murder.
You were 100% correct.
Yes. You're a goddamn prophet, man. Wow. You're got superpowers.
You're a wunderkind.
It's only logical.
Also, one of the cool aspects of this was like when the bounty hunter reaches out to Bill, like he knows that Bill's a degenerate gambler, that he's in debt to this like Chinese casino. And we, as the audience, think it's like, oh, Bill wants this money.
I 100% thought Bill was going to betray him.
Listen, I thought that the Irish guy, the head Irish guy.
Leary?
Dennis Leary?
Yeah, Dennis was going to pay Bill's gambling debt. That's what he went to him for.
Well, no, he's already borrowed money to pay gambling debts in the past. And the last time Leary refused him to say, like, you got to learn your lesson and pay your own debts. But then, like, he killed the guy who was coming after him for the money because he was working with the Chinese. Because
he was an Irish being employed by the Chinese. Yeah. I get that, but I thought that Leary was going to pay his debts.
Leary has bailed him out multiple times in the past, and he basically just said, like, no more.
We're just going to kill the guy that you owe the money to?
Yeah, take out their enforcer, then they don't have anyone to come after you.
He killed the enforcer because he was
Irish.
Betraying the Irish for the Chinese.
I remember the reason why they hired him was because they can't go into the pond or the Irish areas. Mm-hmm. So they can't send anybody to go get the money. They had to send Damon?
Yeah, but
Dylan. Damon was the enforcer.
I think the reason that Leary had Damon killed wasn't so much that he was working for the Chinese because he'd already beat the crap out of him, but I think it was because the guy insulted his mother
twice.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That was the last straw.
They were just going to give him a beating first.
But yeah, but I honestly, when that bounty hunter came to Bill and was like, hey, man, split it with you, $250.
Minus his expenses.
Minus my expenses, of course. The businessman, you know? And I was kind of like, I was on the edge a little bit. I'm like, oh, my God, Bill would definitely take that much money. Like, definitely take that
That's what Lee thought when, like, the bounty hunter came in with, like, the other cops. And then...
But that dude, that moment when Bill's sitting there and he's like, I just wanted to hear it from you. And then he looks at his cop buddies and doesn't say anything, just goes, hey. And they beat the shit out of the bounty hunter, like, on the spot. It was a freaking cool, it was like a gang moment, right? The cops are their own gang.
That was a Peaky Blinders moment.
Yeah, that was some Peaky Blinders shit.
And then Bill tells the bounty hunter after he's been beaten to within an inch of his life, it's like, San Francisco's off limits.
Yeah. Get out of here. Go take your business somewhere else.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see him stand up like that and defend Lee.
It was a good Bill. Good Bill episode.
Yeah, really cool.
We're going to talk about Penelope and her dad pimping her out.
Oh, God. Well, hold on.
Is this where you have to roofie yourself?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So Penelope, she's being put in a hard spot again. No pun intended.
Literally, yeah.
Well, her father's like, hey, I'm going to lose the business again.
Yeah. She already saved her dad, her dad's business by marrying Blake. And now Blake's just like, oh, I already have the wife. I'm gonna take that contract away again. So so her dad is like, hey, it didn't really work out how we thought. I still need you to like fuck your husband. And she's like, so, how dare you?
Well, a little bit of context here. So basically, the mayor, Blake, has agreed to give Penelope's family business the contract for the San Francisco public transit trolley system.
The trolleys.
And he's ever since he got married to Penelope, he's been slow rolling it. So like, he made this promise, and the father keeps being like, hey, when can I get the contract signed so that I can like start making money again? And the mayor's just been like, oh, it's held up in committee and stuff like that. But basically, because Penelope hasn't been, you know, having sex with him, he's been withholding from the dad, playing like the long game, essentially. So basically, the father is in between a rock and a hard place here, and he has dinner, or I should say breakfast, with his daughter, and he's like, look, you need to step up. Otherwise, well, we're not getting this.
She got really upset with him. Like, how dare you ask me to have sex with my husband? And I'm like, you're banging some rando at your fuck studio.
No, she's banging awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. As far as she just met
she's
him.
She's getting fucked awesome. Like, she doesn't want to come home and get fucked Blakely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when we do see Blake fuck, there's a stark difference.
Oh, honestly, I don't think he wants to fuck her either.
He wants to, but it's
not what he's into.
It's not a pleasure thing for him.
No.
It's like a power thing for him. He doesn't care about her, and obviously,
he likes getting stuff shoved up his ass.
Remember that episode?
Maybe they should just have a conversation about kink.
He also likes he also likes some boy action.
Yeah, so, yeah. He's a mix, you know, whatever. Anyway,
he's a mixed bag of treats. He's a
mixed guy.
It's complicated. But this what?
It's Facebook's baddest. It's complicated. No, but like they. The fact that she got upset about that seemed a little weird to me, though.
Oh, it didn't seem really weird to me at all.
I was like, well, I'm like, you're married to him. Like, have you not yet? How long have they been married for? And they've never...
They hate each other.
They've never consummated, ever? Are they saying they've never had sex?
I think she hates him. I don't think Blake, like, has any real disdain for her other
than... He's just a douche.
Yeah, other than, like, she's just been kind of like a pain in the butt.
Okay, he was a nice man that she was a child around until she... went through puberty, and all of a sudden he was like, I'm a fucker. Slap a marriage license on it. She hates him.
I get that.
I don't think he was ever a nice
she's
man.
She's always been someone to him that he wanted to, like, conquer.
I'm just surprised at the shock that she had when asked to do that.
I think this is not a conversation you have with your parents
I think the shock came from the fact that it was her dad.
It's not a conversation I would have with
if your dad
kids.
Was like, hey, you going down on your wife? You'd be like, what the fuck?
Like, I gave you 3 grandkids already. Like, how many more do you want?
Yeah, but are you making her come?
What the fuck?
See? It's fucking inappropriate.
That's something.
You're not my father, dude.
It's weird coming from me. Imagine it from your father.
Dude, that's what I do around here, okay?
You're taking his job. Sorry. They took her job.
Are you not making Vader come either? God damn it, Alex.
That's your job, Jude.
No. We all make Vader come.
Cancel Jude. Hashtag cancel Jude.
People were like, what did I walk into?
Yeah, yeah. So what's funny is that basically Penelope, she wants to meet with Awesome one last time before, like, she has sex with her husband. And Awesome kind of, like, ghosts her because he's busy saving his sister. Yeah. And then, like, she goes, and the only way she can have sex with Blake is if she, like, roofies herself.
Oh, yeah. She roofies the shit out of herself.
Oh, yeah. She's like sitting there and she's pouring her little glass. She stirs it up and she drinks the whole thing. And I'm like, you better hurry up. That kicks in quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she does the little bedroom eye thing and she walks in. She hops on top, puts all the paperwork aside.
And then he made it gross.
Oh, he's such a bad lay.
And he left all the clothes on.
Yeah. I mean, that's number one. That's like, can't be any impediment.
Too many layers.
Yeah. Remember the first episode where she shows him the goods and then fucks off?
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember that episode. Anyway.
Yeah.
He does make it gross. He's a terrible lay. Ugh. He's like, he gets on top and then he like slides in and he goes, ugh. Like, oh my God, dude. Like, what the hell?
Listen, personally, I can't come unless someone makes that noise.
Jesus. She's not joking.
TMI. I don't. Yeah.
I blame the moonshine. God dang it.
I blame corn.
Corn.
I don't even like corn.
Watch cornhole. Anyway, it was an awful scene. It was terrible. He's a douchebag.
We got a couple people in our spaces right now.
Why does she
They leave and they come back.
Yeah, they're like, nope, and they leave.
And then they come back.
Too much. But why is... I want to know why... I forgot what I was going to say. I want to know why she's... She keeps trying to save her dad's business. Obviously, he's not a very good businessman. Because every time he's like...
he's shit with money.
He's terrible. Like, you're not on top yet. You're not on top of the game with your business. You're not making any money. Mm-hmm. No, Can you suck on him a little bit?
Well, and the reason she keeps doing this is because she has two sisters, I think. And she's like, he's going to force them to marry for money if I don't, like, suck it up and save his business. They're going to end up in the same position that I'm in.
Yeah,
so, I'm kind of getting, like, their mother's gone.
Yes.
She passed away.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's the oldest sister, so maybe she kind of feels like it's her responsibility a little bit to make sure that the family
and
carries on.
They explained in an earlier episode that she basically raised her younger sisters, and so she's like the mother figure, and she's making these sacrifices to save her family, essentially. And, you know, the dad is bad at business, but I don't think he's bad at money. Basically, he started buying the materials in order to do like this contract based off of the promises that, you know, the contract would be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor has just been like screwing with him in order to kind of get Penelope in line. So
I want to talk about a toy. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I want to talk about Awesome's fight with Bolo. But toy, her little plot line in this episode.
She's buying some new girls.
She buys some new girls and she finds one that's from the same town that she's from. And this perks her interest. And then the guy's like, oh, she's a virgin too, right? Yeah. So she's like, okay,
this fucking gross person.
What's his name? Zen or Zig or something like that? Zan? Yeah, Zan. So she buys her, takes her to the brothel, and is like, hey, I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to do anything. Just sweep the floors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she gives her
and
a room.
And this girl is fucking mute. Mm-hmm. Like, she is traumatized. She doesn't speak.
Yeah. Did they give her a reason why she's like that? Coming straight off the boat.
She's seen things. I don't know.
I guess she's been abused the whole time, supposedly.
Well, Zan did say that basically because the trip from China is so long that he allows the sailors to basically have sex with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the complaints that Atoy's making as she's going through, like, you know, the different, options, where she's basically like, these women are all, like, you know, haggard, you know, because they've been fucked for, like, you know, months on end. And she's like, you know, I don't want to buy any of these. And that's when Zan pulls out like the virgin card and is like, oh, look at this young one. And Atoy basically buys her not because, you know, she knows that she can make profit off her. She's basically like, oh, this girl's from my same village.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to save her.
Do you guys think she knows her?
There's more to it than
no,
that.
No, I don't think she knows her.
I feel like there's more to it.
I'm pretty much feeling that Atoy's village likes to train their women into being assassins.
Yeah.
And,
And she's like, oh, you're from my village?
Oh.
Yeah, there's something there.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, I mean, this gets touched on later in the episode. Is it the next episode? Or
it might
episode?
Be the next episode.
Next episode, yeah.
But
Batman and Nightwing.
But the whole, yeah, really? The whole thing that ends up, like, the climax of this little mini plot line in this is the freaking Zan guy sells the virgin, pimps her out.
No, he sells her to her.
To this aristocrat guy who's like, oh, I like virgin.
He's like trying to like auction off her virginity.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to double dip. So basically he sells the girl to Atoy and then he networks with these rich white guys who have a thing for having sex with virgins. And so like he says like, okay, like I'll hook you up with a virgin because I just sold one.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes this like rich guy to Atoy's brothel. And Atoy instantly knows what he's doing. And she's like, you piece of shit. Like, you know, like you sold her to me. She's not for sale. And he's like, oh, but there's so much money to be made here. And basically, Zan basically, like, you know, sets up the rendezvous with the virgin, even though, like, the virgin is, you know, trying to resist it. So the rich white guy's in there trying to rape, you know, the virgin girl. And Zan's at the door kind of guarding things. And when Atoy sees this.
Atoy is like, oh, hell no.
Oh, yeah.
She pulls out the little knife out of it and stabs this dude's hand into a wall.
Pins him to the wall.
I'll be right back. Hold on. And walks into the room.
Keep him warm for me, sweetheart.
She kills the dude in the room, right?
No. She just cuts his face and says, like, let that be a reminder.
She says, explain that to your wife.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. And then she kicks him out. And then she goes back to the guy. And he's sitting there with his hand in the wall still. And he's like, oh, trying to take the knife. She just grabs it and just freaking shink and takes off half his hand.
Slices two of his
couple
fingers.
Couple of his fingers
off.
Fall
yeah,
off.
She literally fingers him.
She defingers him.
Oh, man. A toy's freaking savage. Yeah, I love her, dude. I love it when she goes like, this is my house. Mm-hmm. You don't mess with me. I love those moments.
Don't come
character.
In here swinging that dick.
Yeah, really. I'll cut it off.
Yeah. Those fingers were your warning.
But I do have a lot of questions about this girl. And
I'm sure she'll play in heavy coming forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a Padawan for a toy now.
We have a whole nother mm-hmm. season to go. See where that goes. It'll be cool.
Meanwhile, in the main story.
Awesome.
Awesome is.
Versus yeah. the Yellow Demon.
Yeah.
This is the best.
So we need to set the stage a little bit for this. So in the last episode, basically, Father June basically told Long Z that he was going to kill him.
Yeah.
In a very roundabout way.
And Long Z sees it coming.
Mm-hmm. And so basically Long Z fucks off to a safe house on the outskirts of town that supposedly no one knows about, but...
Everybody knows about it.
Everybody knows about it.
Father June finds out the location, and so he basically sends Bolo, a.k.a. the Yellow Demon, to go and assassinate not only Long Z, but also Mai Ling, because Father June kind of knows that Mai Ling is secretly, like, running things.
Mm-hmm.
And... Young June, who's kind of like in the meetings, like finds out about this. And one night when he's drinking with Assam, he basically spills the beans to his best friend. That's like, okay, this is what's going down. And then Assam like knows that his sister's in danger. So he goes to Atoy and he's like, do you know where the safe house is? Atoy tells him, and Assam goes to the safe house. And just as Bolo is about to kill Miley,
he starts running there first. He's like, oh, I'm going to. He starts jogging there, and then he looks over and he sees a couple of horses, and he's like, I'm going to steal a horse.
Yeah.
Takes a horse there, runs out to this little safe house. And Bolo, at this point, he's already run through all the guards.
Yeah.
Like, the guards are all
Bolo
dead.
Has killed everyone.
Yeah. And what's his sister's name again?
Mai Ling
hears something going on, and she gets up, and she grabs a little shank knife, walks downstairs, and Bolo's there. And he, like, just beats the living crap out of her, chokes her, holds her up by the wall. And she's passed out at this point. Like, uh-huh. He's just waiting for
her. Choked her out.
That dude, but he was like watching her die, though.
Yeah.
He was like, that's it. Just be quiet. He's like staring at her the whole time.
Watching her soul leave her body.
Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah. He's not a nice person.
No, I didn't say he was. I was just like, God damn. That's
he's
pretty...
the Yellow Demon.
But then, of course, Awesome shows up just in time, kicks Bolo, and they have this epic fight.
It was pretty epic.
And the great part about this is, like, it's been kind of bubbling to, like, because Bolo never liked Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he keeps saying, like, oh, maybe you and me should spar. And Awesome's just like, no.
Nope. I don't fight you. Awesome puts up a pretty good fight. I thought Bolo was going to have the upper hand, but it was pretty evenly matched for a while. And then Mai Ling comes in at the very, very end and surprise kills Bolo.
Well, but the thing
stabs him back.
Awesome basically prevailed because he was the one who was able to break Bolo's arm.
And
at that point, Bolo had been defeated. But I don't think Awesome was going to actually, like, kill him. Like, I think he was going to, like, you know, try to come to some type of
he had to kill him.
Yeah, he had to.
He might have.
The only thing that saved Awesome from taking the blame for this whole situation is the fact that Bolo died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had to have died. Because he would go straight to Father June and say, he just saved our enemy's wife, I guess.
I think Assam's plan was, if he wasn't going to kill Bolo, then he was going to try and run away with Mai Ling.
No, the thing about Assam is he doesn't have a plan. And Atoy basically calls him on this in the next episode. But basically, Awesome is just reactive.
Mm.
Like, he's like, my sister's in danger. I have to save my sister. I don't care about the consequences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Mai Ling is always playing, like, the long game.
Yeah.
And so, like...
Thank God someone in that family has a brain.
And Mai Ling was the one who ended up killing Bolo. But, like, she kind of snuck up behind him and stabbed him.
And then she immediately runs upstairs and murders her husband.
What's funny...
Boss move.
What's funny is, like, so she sends Awesome away, and she realizes this is my moment to kill my husband because I can blame it on
the
law.
It was the opportunity she's been waiting for.
Yeah.
Because she's wanted to take control for a long time. She just couldn't quite figure out how to do it.
It was actually a really beautiful scene because you could tell that she cared for him.
I didn't get the impression that she wanted to do it.
No.
I got the impression that she felt like it was a necessity.
Yeah.
And Long Z is sitting there and he's like, I'm glad it's you.
Yeah.
Like the minute that he sees her holding the sword that he put down, he realizes what's happening because it's something that he probably would have done in her situation.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, like, I'm glad it's you. Like, he kind of acknowledges that she's been running things for a while now.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like a heartbreaking moment because you could tell that in order for her to progress, she had to do this. But at the same time, she was kind of sad that she had to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as he was actually pretty good to her.
Seems like he was a nice guy.
I feel like anytime you get like these kind of shows with Chinese or Japanese, like old people that are going to get killed by young people,
they kind of accept their
always,
fate.
They're always ready for it.
Yeah.
They get very zen.
Oh, well, hold
stab
on.
Me here.
He was like, he's sitting there looking at her. He's in bed, and he obviously can't fight back.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of accepts his fate. But I'm like,
at least it was you.
At least, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that though. Like, at least it was you. But then when she actually like stabbed him, he was like, holy shit, that got real. Like, it wasn't like a I don't want to say pleasant death, but
no,
it wasn't like a painless death. Like, right. I feel like she could have done something a little bit less gruesome to the guy. She stabbed him in the gut.
Well, she had to make it seem like the Hopway were responsible for it.
Yeah, but so. It was his sword. Unless she just pulls the sword out and then like,
they don't have, forensics. It's like, oh, he got stabbed by a sword.
Well, okay. Also in the next episode, they make it clear that like no white people kill other people with swords.
Right. And honestly, the police aren't being like, that's not his sword.
Well, not the police. I mean, like maybe other people within her organization that might be suspicious of his death.
Honestly, though, if you were Bolo and you came into that room and you saw Longzi sitting there with a sword, you'd just take the sword and stab him with it.
Maybe, or choke
I mean,
out
the only thing that Bolo...
Die.
Yeah, the only thing that Bolo had when he showed up there was a hatchet, mm-hmm. right? So, like, or was it a meat cleaver? It was like
a specialized hatchet, but yeah.
Let's call it an axe.
Sure. I'm just saying, like, if somebody had the inclination, they could have been like, why'd they use his sword? And Bolo's downstairs. Like, you could piece that together.
Yeah.
Like, hold on a second. Something's a little fishy here.
I don't think it matters.
She could have killed him nicer.
Smiling was there, and she said that they assassinated him.
Could have killed him nicer. That's all I'm saying.
I think they set it up really well.
Like, bleed out that little vein underneath your armpit right there and just let him fall asleep instead of stabbing you in the gut.
And you think I'm diabolical.
It's the fastest way. It's 30 seconds or less.
Just bleed him out.
Well,
that way the meat is so good.
The next morning, the Longzi hang Bolo in the middle of Chinatown.
Yeah.
Was so, that this episode? The end of this episode?
Yeah. So, like, they let everyone know, like, basically that the Hopway attacked them. And the Hopway are like, yeah, we're going to finish the job.
Yeah.
And so, like, they have, like, this big kind of, like, Gangs of New York style meeting in the middle of Chinatown. That's where this episode ends with, like, the two tongs mm-hmm. rushing
standing
towards each
off.
Other.
And
basically the gang war that's been set up this entire season finally, like, you know, happens. Yeah.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Cool. Speaking of which,
yes.
Before we get into the next episode, we talk about that glorious street fight. I want to remind you that if you want to support what we do here at the podcast, go to saltynerd.com/DC and download a video game called Dragon Champions on your Android or Apple device. Dragon Champions is a awesome mobile game where you get to collect your heroes, upgrade them, and go on the warpath with your friends. And if you type in the promo code SALTY in the promo code area and get to level 20, you can join the Salty Nerd Podcast Guild, which is ran by one of our patrons, JT. Shout out to that guy. And they go on raids and tackle dragons and get upgrades to their warriors and have like a nice little community going on in our Discord chat as well for the Dragon Champion. So sign up and don't forget that promo code SALTY to let them know that we sent you, and we want to return the favor of them supporting us. So that's how we do it. All right. Episode, what is it, 8?
Yes.
They don't pay us enough to think. I've said that before.
That's like the motto of our podcast.
No, it's we watch them so you don't have to.
I like they don't pay us enough to think. That's, I think it fits too.
I've said that before.
Have you?
Yeah. In my real job? Absolutely. I probably should cut that out. Jude.
Yes.
Episode 8. Take it
All
away.
All right, sir. Warriors Season 1, Episode 8. They don't pay us enough to think. It's street war time and everybody's doing it. The Hopway and Longzi start tearing each other apart in the middle of the day and all through Chinatown. Penny wakes up from her self-inflicted roofie, but it seems to have worked. Her husband promises the trolley railway contract to her father, securing his business. Big Dick and Big Bill try to figure out what to do with all these dead Chinese guys. And as the Hopway gets stitched up from their street fighting, Chow arrives with an offer to negotiate with Mai Ling in neutral territory, where a duel is arranged. The two strongest fighters from the Tongs will decide the fate of the Chinatown molasses industry. Father Jun sends the Eyes Wide Shut crew to test Assam and then names him the champion of the Hopway. The Irish are all out of work and on the street when a cart full of cheap Chinese workers rolls by, inciting the wrath of Leary. And finally, a toy's business beard gets blackmailed. But a toy is nobody's plaything. She comes in hot and stabby, gets her money back, and is like, "See, I fixed it," to her business partner, who shits his pants over the violence. A toy disposes of the body in the sea, where a fisherman nets and brings it back to shore for Big Dick Lee to finger. Discuss.
We finally get to see a street fight.
Yeah.
Like a 20-on-20 street fight.
Yeah. This is what we've been waiting for.
Oh, yeah. The powder keg was primed, ready to go, and we finally get to see it.
And they're just like...
Hacking each other apart.
Yeah. And then I love it when like Lee and Bill are like, "Fuck, are we gonna do with all these dudes?" Who's gonna clean this up?
So the big gang fight that we ended the last episode on picks up at the beginning of this episode, and the Long Z lose 7 dudes and the Hopway lose 3 dudes, but everyone who stopped fighting is like super fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they went back to their respective territories in order to like kind of like heal and stuff like that. And we know that, so the Long Z lost more men than the Hop Way, but they have the fun guys hanging out in the background waiting to reinforce them. And so Father Jun is like, maybe a full-out gang war is not in our best interest.
Well, everybody pretty much says that. They're like, "Hey, if we keep this up, there's not going to be anybody left to fight. Right. So we've got to find another."
Then that crappy Tong on the edge of town is going to come in and take over everything.
Yeah.
And Young Jun is just so hot-headed. He's like, "Fuck them. They're a bunch of bitches." And Father June's like, "Did they look like a bunch of bitches to you?"
Yeah.
When they were like hacking your arm off.
So they lose more men than...
The Long Z lost 7 men. And the Hop Way lost 3.
Hop Way is awesome. Tong. So they technically won. They only lost 3 guys versus their 7?
Ish?
I'd call that a win.
Okay, I don't think it's over. I think it's just a skirmish.
Well,
it's
a pretty good ratio. Father June's like whole reasoning behind this is that like, you know, just a couple months ago, the Long Z would have never dared to do any of this stuff, which means that they're growing bolder. They have the fun guys backing them up now. And every guy that we lose, we become weaker. And so like just through attrition, we will lose this war. And he also says that like, I knew Long Z. I knew how to deal with him. I don't know Mai Ling. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to deal with her.
She's crazy.
Is she crazy or is she just, she ambitious. Just has a thirst for power?
Well, in the previous episode, we neglected to talk about this. She has, when she's burying Long Z, she has like this big funeral and she tells a story about the tiger and the fox.
Yeah.
And basically the parable is that the fox tricked the tiger into following him, and everyone was actually afraid of the tiger when the fox was thinking that everyone was afraid of him. And so like she made the metaphor, it's like there are a lot of foxes that attach themselves to the tiger who was Long Z, and we need to remind these people who the real tiger is. And she was speaking of herself.
She was like, it's all you guys, but really she was like, it's me.
Well, her husband's reputation is what set this gang apart from the rest of them, and the respect that he was given was transferred to everybody that worked for him. But as he got older, that respect started to wane, started to get lesser and lesser, and now she's in a position where she needs to prove herself.
Yeah.
She needs to prove herself worthy of the gang's respect.
Yep.
So she's taking it upon herself to just be like, well, we're gonna have some blood. For a little while, it's very similar. I hate making Quentin Tarantino references because
I could totally see.
I know the people who made this show probably don't like Tarantino very much, but
they shouldn't make Tarantino like shows.
But the same thing happened in Kill Bill when Lucy Liu's character like chopped that one dude's head off. Like, anybody got anything else to say about it? Like, that's essentially what we're watching right now.
Any of you motherfuckers got anything else to say?
Now's the fucking time.
Is Mai Ling Oren Ishii? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe, yeah, a little bit.
I insulted you earlier for that.
But you know what? This is, you know, strong women, but I like it.
Well, if it's well set up and well done, I'm all for it.
She's not a Mary Sue.
No, absolutely not. She almost died last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she was...
The yellow demon fucked her up.
Knocking on the door.
She was dead, except for her brother rescued her.
Yeah. And I love the fact that she is a powerful person without them having to, like, give her superpowers in fighting. She can't fight.
No, she's just maneuvering the pieces.
She is smart, yeah. And she's powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on the tail end of this gang fight, we have the politicians coming in.
Oh, yeah.
To basically politicize it. We have this this senator, I forget his name, but basically Mayor Blake is using this gang violence as a way to push an anti-Chinese agenda that kind of serves this California senator who is going to be making a run for the presidency.
Mm-hmm. And they're all like, oh, he might be president someday. We need to do what he wants.
All I saw was how every time there's a disaster or something somewhere.
Yeah.
And like
they come in and capitalize on it.
A politician comes in 3 days later with the press and they're like, mm-hmm. shaking hands. Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah, they come onto the crime scene with literally bodies in the street with like
snapping pictures
with cameras and Bill's sitting here watching this whole thing. and he's this isn't his first rodeo, obviously.
Yeah.
And Lee is like, you know, like we need to investigate and you know, think about like what's actually going on here because there's more to this than meets the eye. And Bill's just like, they don't pay us enough to think, man. Mm-hmm. It's like, just it's Chinatown. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. But yeah, the politicians showing up, it very much does remind me of that. And they show up, they shake everybody's hands. We're going to make a stand against this type of violence. And I'm like,
we're going to ship all them Chinese back.
He does. He wants to ship them all out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if the business people who take advantage of the cheap labor would be okay with you shipping everybody out.
They got all the Irish people.
They're not cheap.
They're going to hire them too.
They're not as cheap. Obviously, that's what the whole reason is. Like, what they say before is like 10 Chinamen for the price of one Irishman.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even if this guy's plan worked, I feel like half the city would be freaking after him. Like, you're ruining our entire business plan right now.
Well, they're gonna have the Chinese build the north side of the rail and the Irish build the south side.
Isn't that another show that we watched before? What was that called?
But they're not gonna know each other's building.
Hell on Wheels?
I have no idea.
Is Hell on Wheels related to the show?
No, Hell on Wheels was the railroad.
Yeah, but I'm saying it could be same universe.
That it definitely could be the same universe.
Shared universe.
Shared universe.
Shared universe. Hell on Wheels. Get Anson Mount in season 3.
And Common. Is that how it goes?
Common died,
yeah,
I think.
Common died.
Yeah, he died. In a
really dumb way.
That's a stupid.
Colmeany died, too. Yeah.
He died, too?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. I didn't know that.
For a 5-year-old show.
Yeah, I'm not mad at you. I just didn't know. That's all. I stopped watching it. I don't know what else to say.
Basically Penelope's father, who finally gets the contract because Penelope finally put out. So he made a deal with Dylan in a previous episode to hire Irish workers because Dylan was threatening to like basically gum up the works.
Mm-hmm.
And at the start of this episode, all like we see Dennis Leary like, you know, going around helping the out of work Irish guys. And we see the Chinamen being shipped in to basically take their jobs, and they get really upset. And then at the end of the episode, you know, Penelope's father shows up and it's like, okay, time to hire good old-fashioned working Irishmen.
Yep.
And
as long as they're white.
Yeah, and Dylan's all for it. And as they're making their big speech, we see that deputy mayor in the background. And he's like, oh, this isn't going to work for me because I have agendas of my own.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's working with Mai Ling trying to start a war.
Yep.
Yep. And that was another reason why she was pushing for the fight.
What's that guy's name? I forget his name. The deputy mayor.
The guy with the beard and the limp.
Yeah.
Wormy.
Wormy.
Wormwood.
Worm Sticky tongue. Fingers.
Worm tongue. Yeah. Worm it's tongue. Worm tongue. Sticky fingers. But anyway, so the negotiations happen where they're both tongs are like, okay, we can't just be killing each other in the street. That's not going to end well for anybody. We need to come out with another plan. Mm-hmm. And their plan is basically a duel. Your best fighter versus our best fighter. Whoever wins gets the compromise, winning side of the compromise.
If Awesome wins, then status quo.
They get
quo.
Extra.
And they keep doing things as they are right now for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And if
Awesome loses, then...
they get more territory.
They get to
start, and new shipments, I think.
They get to start selling their
molasses
in the new territory where they're at. Yeah,
which is basically opium.
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's kind of funny because Hun Li's character shows up and he's like, "It's time to negotiate." And all the Chinese businessmen are like, you know, all this gang violence is bad for business. So like, we're going to come to a compromise here. And neither side really wants to compromise, but they see like the wisdom in it.
Right? Yeah,
because
for sure.
Because if they lose their community, if the community turns against them, all the rich guys who, you know, turn against them, they're screwed either way. So mm-hmm. like basically they're forced to come to the table and come to this compromise of having a good old fashioned duel. It's basically single combat for all the chips.
Mm-hmm.
And with Bolo dead, Father June's like, well, oh, who are we going to get?
Yeah, he sets
champion?
Him up in the hallway. Like Austin's just walking through the hallway, just minding his own business.
Eyes wide shut crew.
Yeah, and then the guys in the mask show up, and he's like, oh, this whoops is, their freaking butts.
He goes, oh, this is different.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, then.
Yeah, Austin's just like, oh, 12 on one? Okay.
All right. Here we go. Freaking kicks their ass.
It's not weird that it's 12 on one. It's weird that they're wearing masks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then Father June shows up and he's like, well, I heard you were a good fighter, but this proves it. Congratulations. You've just voluntold yourself to be the champion
You're
of the Tong.
Champion, yeah.
Which I'm sure Awesome's not mad
and
about.
And Mai Ling's like, please don't agree to this.
Yeah.
He's going to kill you.
He doesn't really have a choice.
I don't think he has a choice.
No.
He would give himself away if he was
gotta
like,
go well, well got to go break his leg or something.
The Long Z champion, Li Yong. Mm-hmm. So like, him and Awesome have had like a brief sparring in episode one.
And they are very evenly matched.
They're very evenly matched. And he's also Mai Ling's lover and the top enforcer for the Long Z.
And he knows that Assam is her brother, right?
I don't think he does.
No, he doesn't know this yet. Okay. Like Mai Ling's played that very close to the chest.
Okay.
But basically, he's going to be the Long Z champion. And so we get like these training montages in this episode. Yeah. And you know, like Li Yong is just... You know, he's training hard and Awesome's just like kind of getting drunk and being pissy with like white men.
He's mad.
We should have somebody cut the training montages to Rocky IV music.
I might be able to do that.
That'd be kind of fun.
Probably get copyright.
But the thing about Awesome is that he's not in a good headspace because earlier in the episode, Penelope broke up with him and said, like, you know, like, we can't see each other anymore. And so, like, he's not only just been dumped, but, you know, like, he's now the entire weight of the future of his Tong rests on his shoulders, and he's going up against his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he's just all types of fucked up. And so he's just getting drunk and being like an asshole, and Atoy has to pull him aside and be like,
slapping rich white men
around. He's like, you're going to lose this fight if you don't get your shit together.
And
get it together,
like,
man.
She's like, don't fucking start shit in my brothel, because if this isn't a safe place for white men to come fuck prostitutes, you fuck that up for me, you're fucking that up for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just, I don't know, he's out of sorts, man. He's out of his depth, I guess, a little bit.
Kind
of
rightfully so.
Yeah.
I get it. I got to get his clear his head.
He's got to get his chi in order. Yeah. Go fight. Which is my favorite
episode.
And
he was going up to Penelope, is that her name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was going to her place to clear his head.
He was going to the fuck palace?
And he got denied.
Imagine getting denied
so
at the
it's
fuck
like,
palace.
I mean, you get denied before you have a duel to the death? I'd be a little upset, too.
Yeah. She regrets it later, though, I think.
I don't know.
One of my favorite episodes is the Chinese boxing episode, which I don't think I've seen it yet.
So.
It's good. It's a good episode.
Yeah. A lot of cool stuff. Watching these in order as we talk about them.
Yeah. Let's talk about Atoy real quick before we end this.
Atoy had a very interesting subplot.
She does. So she's
this episode.
She's using her money, but she can't own land in America because she's not a white guy.
Because she's Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's Chinese.
She's a foreigner.
And she's a whore.
She's a whore.
And a woman.
And a woman. So she has, by proxy, she is working with this other gentleman. I forget his name.
He's her beard. Her business beard.
Real estate mogul Victor Timmons. Is that what his name is?
I think
probably.
That's right. Yeah,
Timmons. is working with her by proxy. So he takes her money and then he uses his ability to purchase land for the both of them as like a business transaction. The people that they're buying the land off of find out that he's a proxy for Atoy.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh.
Yeah.
We're going to blackmail you into paying $5,000 more. So we said before, $500 is $15,000 in today's money. $5,000, add another zero to the end of that. That's a lot of freaking money for this guy.
$150,000.
$150,000 more than the purchasing price.
Yeah.
Which I'm probably.
And then he's like, oh, by the way, now I'm your business partner too. So yeah. Like now he has partial ownership.
Yeah.
Didn't they basically buy Sausalito? On the other side of the day.
I don't know.
San Francisco treat.
That's some good property over there.
It's good property, yeah. But they charge them an extreme amount over the market value that they were going to charge. And then Atoy apparently just has the money. She's like, oh, $5,000?
Yeah.
$150,000? Yeah. All right.
She
here's
makes
an envelope.
A good living.
Apparently. Yeah. Jesus Christ. So she gives them the money. She's like, pay them for now. We'll buy us time. We'll figure things out later.
I got a plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a plan. Little does this guy know that her plan is murder.
It's to immediately get her money back.
But
well, so she tells him, make sure you close the deal.
Yeah, close the deal
that,
first.
Then
yeah.
Give him the money.
And then give him the extra $5,000 on top of that. And then she goes, she shows up at this little business deal and he's completely blindsided.
I fucking love this. She's just like murdering people in the hallway. Yeah. And the blackmailer is like, who the fuck is that? And she comes in, she's like, she takes her hood down. She's like, the Chinese whore.
She's like, I'm your business partner now.
Yeah.
And she freaking like slices the guy's stomach open. Mm-hmm. I think, does she slice his stomach open or is he
stabbing?
She
comes in hot and stabby.
She does something with a blade and kills him. And the dude that she's partnered up with is like, what the fuck am I going to do now?
Yeah. Like, what just happened?
And she's like,
I fixed
job,
it for
right?
you.
Yeah.
We business partners. Yeah. I fixed it for you.
Look how I protect you. And he's like, oh, no,
this ain't good. Like, I always thought a toy was a little bit smarter than this, but like, what's her end game here?
Well,
they're not going to be like.
She trusts him and wants to, she wants him to trust her. So she's like, I will protect my business partner.
Right.
That's you.
Well, also, a toy has been systematically killing white men this entire season
and
getting away with it.
It's nothing to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just like, they're going to say, oh, these people just died or went up missing. The last person that they were seen with slash had business with was this guy.
Who's going to suspect a Chinese whore?
I don't know. It just seems super obvious to me that they would get caught for doing something like that. Which eventually they do. I mean, she tosses the guy's body into the river.
Yeah.
And then it gets washed up.
Had his body not been found, nobody would have.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, man.
And it's funny because that final scene where basically they recover the body of this guy that Atoy murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And the chief of police is there. And he calls up Bill and Big Dick Lee. And they're like, why are we here? It's like, because a Chinaman killed this guy. And they're like, how do you know? It's like, he was killed with a sword.
Yeah.
I don't know any white people that kill people with swords.
It's like, I figured Lee would want to stick his fingers in them.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, Lee has this great line where he's like, he doesn't like me very much, does he? And Bill's just like, nah, he doesn't like you at all.
He doesn't like me very much, does he?
No, that's not true. He doesn't like you at all.
I have to make a correction. Victor Timmons and his partner, Lance McCormick, blackmail Atoy. So Leonard Patterson. Leonard Patterson is his name. Too many white people
Let's just
in the
call
show.
Him the beard.
I like the beard.
Just call him
the
Pat.
Beard. Pat. Patty. Patty.
Oh, Patty McMurlin.
Oh, Lenny Patty.
And we get more training montages with the box block.
Which is building up to the big duel that's going to happen.
And then the very end I thought was intriguing, too.
Talk to me about it.
So the new girl from China.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to talk about this. Yeah. Okay. So the virgin.
Yeah. The new girl, she's cleaning. She's doing her work. Mm-hmm. She's cleaning Atoy's personal inner sanctum.
Okay.
Her bedroom, right?
Hosing it out.
Yeah.
And she's like, finds this long box under the bed and pulls it out. And it's a sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's her assassin kit, basically, right?
Yeah.
And, fast forward a couple minutes, and Atoy walks in, looks around the corner, and then there's the girl. She's over there doing, you know, calisthenics.
She's doing her water dance.
Yeah.
Like the Arya Stark.
So that confirms.
She knows how to use a blade.
Oh, she went to the same school I went to.
Yeah.
This is now my protege, is where I feel like they're going to go with this.
Yeah. So, yeah, the town that they grew up in apparently just turned all their ladies into assassins.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you're from my town? Oh, okay, I could use you. You're going to come with me.
Surprised they don't have like matching tattoos or something.
Is she gonna be mute this whole time? I wonder if she's gonna be like the silent assassin.
That'd be dope.
That'd be so dope.
Yeah.
Just put her in all black with a freaking mask on and just have her be the silent assassin.
Hell yeah.
A toy's freaking number one.
Right.
Oh yeah, that'd be dope. I have no idea if that's gonna happen or not, but I'm excited for it.
She's I don't know.
Awesome.
Awesome.
There you go.
Pretty cool.
That's pretty much it for the two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot happened, but it was very concise, very easy to understand.
You know what I like about this show is a lot of stuff does happen. And like you just said,
mm-hmm.
it's all segmented in a way to where it's easy to follow.
Yeah.
It's not some bullshit convoluted show. It's just a fun action.
Yep.
Easy to follow, dramatic show with a lot of fighting and weirdness and
Peaky Blinders but Kung Fu.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Peaky Blinders was Kung Fu.
And like we only got two more episodes to go until the season's over.
I know. We're blazing through this season. It's crazy. But yeah, join us every week. We're going to be talking about the show. We're going to start on season two later this month or probably in May. And we're going to go through that season as well, all the way up till season 3 drops sometime in June. So join us. Hope you're along for the ride. I've seen a couple of comments on our YouTube videos where people are like, oh, my God, finally somebody's covering the show. Yeah. So welcome. Cool. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Don't forget to like and subscribe if you're enjoying these shows. We do a lot of other stuff on this channel as well that you might enjoy. So make sure to subscribe and hit that little bell notification so you know when we drop a video. And we go live on Saturdays and Tuesdays as well. So join us there in the live chat. Let us know that you're here for the Warrior reviews because we love this show. Matt Vader.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to the people.
See you later, people. Have a good one.
Right on. Jude, what's going on with you?
You know.
Moonshine.
Moonka.
Moonka.
Texas vodka.
Gotcha. Right on. Matt Kiddish. What do you got?
Sayonara.
Cool. All right, everybody. Stay salty. See you next week.